on the call or in Adobe, we have Roloff Meyer, Leonid Todorov, Peter van Roste, Byron Holland, Mathieu Weil, Abba Diakite, Taryn Presley, Xavier Calvet, Bart Boswinkel, and Christina Nordstrom. And we have apologies from Fad Bataine, Leslie Cowley, Rosalia Morales, Paulus Nirenda, Giovanni Sepia, Sabina Doldrer, and possibly from Debbie Monahan, if she doesn't show up.
Okay, thank you. Xavier, do you want to start off?
So, I'm fine with that. We have had a call on the 15th of May, so 5 days after this, the Butter presentation was published, to introduce the presentation to those present on the call and to answer any questions that pertain to understanding the content and the structure of the document in order to facilitate the future review work of those who are interested in doing that review. So my understanding is that this call is having the same objective with an attendance that's specific to the CCNSO SOP working group. And as a result, what I'm suggesting to do, because I think that a number of you, if not all of you, have already gone through some parts, at least, of the document, I'm intending to go very quickly through the entire document, and I suggest that I don't necessarily stop, and that then we can go over questions that pertain ideally to understanding the document, ensuring that you have a correct understanding of what information is provided. As Roloff, Bart, and I have exchanged emails yesterday about this call, I will refrain from getting into substantial comments or providing information about the substance of the information that's provided into the presentation for the purpose of not unfairly providing a certain amount of information to a specific audience, the CCNSO SOP working group in this case, that I would not have provided it to the other participants of the same type of call or the one that happened on the 15th of May. This is because there's currently an ongoing public comment process happening, and that I want to make sure there's fairness across all interested participants relative to the information that's being received. And as a result, I may advise for some questions that you may ask, I may advise to publish the question on the public comment website, and obviously we will have an early knowledge and understanding of what those questions are, which is going to help us try to work already in parallel on an answer, but I will not necessarily be able to answer them directly on the call. So I wanted to make that preliminary comment. I think there's someone who's not muted, and I think it'll be helpful if we can all mute when we are not speaking, please. Can everyone mute, please?
So, Sophie, this is Roloff. Yes, we extend on the point you just made. I just want to assure you that even if you provide answers or reactions to points that are not clarifying questions but are more discussion points, we will, all the discussion points that we have brought in so far, we will put them in our reaction to the public comments period. So if then I can publicly respond to those points, that information will be available to the whole public. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Understood, and that's helpful, Roloff. Christina, are we going to have a recording or a transcript of this call?
Yes, the call will be both transcribed and recorded and posted online.
Okay. Because Roloff, I'm less concerned with the questions, because I think that I'm expecting what you were saying, that you guys will provide those questions. I was more concerned with my answers being provided to everyone. So I'm fine with that. I will try to provide as much answers as I can during this call, knowing that I may or may not have the very specific or direct answer to the question. Having said that, let me go through the slides quickly. Again, I will go through them quickly because I'm assuming that you have already gone through the documents to a certain extent, and that you have also some sort of familiarity as a result with the document. So on page two, sorry, Christina, do we have the Adobe version or do we have the PowerPoint presentation?
I have the PowerPoint uploaded, so I'm on page two right now.
Okay. So page two is just an overview of the content. The page three is just a very small introduction as to what the document is. The background on slide four is aiming at providing a little bit of context, as well as page five, in providing a little bit of context as to what changes the organization has gone through, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the slide seven.
Xavier, sorry for the interruption. Christina, are you looking at the slides? Because I'm still on slide two, table of contents.
Yeah, sorry, I was a little confused whether we were still on the page or not. So should I jump all the way to page five?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
So I'll stay for a second on slide five, just because here we're describing the main information that is included in the two sets of documents that make up the budget materials. There's one, the PDF document or PowerPoint document that we are looking at right now that makes up the budget materials. And second, there is the Excel spreadsheet that was provided and published at the same time that is the full integrated part of the budget materials. So the three main pieces of information that are, or areas of information that are provided in those two documents are an overview of how the forecast of 2013 compares to the budget of 2013. This allows us to reset a bit the latest full year financial information of reference for the current year that then can be used for the purpose of comparing with the budget of 14. So we are comparing the budget of 13 to the forecast of 13 in the first section of the document, providing an understanding of where we're at today with the understanding that the forecast of 13 comprises 7 months of actual data and 5 months of forecasted data. The basis of the forecasted data for the 5 months is the budget amended with specific information as we know it. The next array of information is the budget of 2014, that is compared to the actuals, to the forecast of 2013, so that we have an element of reference. And the third piece of information is the breakdown of the overall 2014 budget as per the list of programs that are captured in the at-task system, which is the system in which the management delivery and implementation data is captured. What that data is, very simply, is all the activities and tasks that the staff carries out across the entire organization for an entire year. So it's everything that we do and as a result, it captures 100% of the costs of the organization, whether these costs are personnel-related, travel-related, professional services, or administrator-related. So that's the three components of the information. There's a summary of the Excel spreadsheet that appears in this PowerPoint document at the end of it, towards the two-thirds of it, and that summary is detailed in the Excel spreadsheet. I will move on to page 7 and 8 and 9, which provide an understanding of significant changes that occurred throughout 2013 and 2004, and they are expected in 2014. It may look like general verbiage, but there are many consequences of these changes having happened. They're anonymously always referring in the course of the document to these changes, but I think you can understand by the nature of those changes that they're very pervasive throughout the organization and have a large impact on a number of processes, and will be more specific as the questions come in. I will go directly on page 11, Christina. This is only suggesting an overview of the overall planning process that we are targeting to carry out on a regular basis. The upper part talks about strategic planning. The middle part talks about what is more the operating plan and its budget. And the lower part alludes to the actual monitoring that we need to do on a recurring basis of what the operating plan and budget turns out to be in a reality, and understanding the variances between that operating plan and budget in the reality helps us refine possibly the strategy, though it is unlikely that daily changes affect the strategy, but most likely the operating plan would be affected by what gets accomplished or doesn't get accomplished in 1 year, and what new elements come into the picture during a year that it didn't exist at the time the plan was built. On the right of this slide, you can see that at the strategy level, objectives and goals are determined. The goals are translated into a portfolio of activities and projects that themselves contain several different programs, themselves broken down into projects, which themselves are made up of tasks. These six boxes on the right of the slide are representing the structure of the at-task system, which is the management system that the staff uses to document what we do every day. This system, I remind you, has been implemented between, let's say, September 2012 and January 2013. The implementation of this system has, I remind you, been at the source of us changing the budget process a little bit in the middle of the year so that we ensure we can produce the budget information, the numbers, basically, in the same format in the management system so that we can really associate values and costs to everything that the staff does, which I think is the most significant change in the fundamental structure of the data that we have produced as part of this budget process this year. I will move on. Slide 12 is just providing an overview of the change in the budget process that I was just alluding to. And we're moving on directly to slide 14, 15, 16, 17, who are dealing with the variance, the high-level variance comments between the forecast of 13 and the budget of 13, and try to explain the main elements of why the forecast is different than the budget. And I'm assuming that there may be questions coming out of that. I can try to address some of them when we are done with the presentation here. We then, starting slide 18, start the presentation of the budget data at a high level, similar format. This is the statement of activity presenting the budget of 14, comparing it to the forecast of 13 in a breakdown that I think is consistent with what you have seen in the past. The breakdown of revenues on page 20, then variance analysis of the revenues on page 21. The page 22 is relatively substantial in the sense that it tries to provide an analytical breakdown of the variances between 13 and 14 in terms of the main areas that drive the growth of the organization and the growth of its expenses and revenues. So you can see on the left side of the slide that we start with the 2013 numbers broken down between the main categories of costs. And then from that point, adding the next columns of variances, you end up by making up the number for 2014. So the columns that appear between the two vertical bars are variances, changes in the amount of money that is being spent in these areas that are labeled at the top of the schedule, that reflect the growth and the changes in the approach or in the structure of those areas, basically. At the very bottom of this slide, you can see a box that basically contains the departments whose numbers contribute to the variances that are described, that are measured above. So, as an example, of the first column that's called Impact of Internationalization, including languages, the departments whose activity and change in activity contribute to the numbers that appear in that column are the Global Stakeholder Engagement Group, the Language Services Group, the Government Engagement Department, as well as a certain amount of specific costs pertaining to the offices that ICANN is opening or is planning to open in the year 2014. So this is the structure of this slide. I'll move on to slide 23, which is a simple breakdown of headcount, providing an end-of-year reference point as well as an average headcount for the year. So the average for 14 is the headcount between July 1st, 2013, to June 30th, 2014, and then the variance. Visual representation of the same information on slide 24, but providing a two-year span to this information so that the change in the structure and the size of the organization over a two-year period is apparent, considering how significant it is. From page 25 on is provided an overview of the data in that task. You may recognize the slide 26, which has a similar format or an identical format to the one that Fadi has presented several times and shows these objectives and goals. If you refer to the earlier slide that we were looking at on the planning process, I commented on the six boxes on the right, and the top two were objectives and goals. These are the objectives and goals. We have four objectives and 16 goals, four goals per objective. And you see an amount of money in each of those boxes, at the bottom of each of these boxes that contain the 16 goals. And this is an aggregation of the costs pertaining to the programs that make up each of those set of objectives. So the objective called affirmation of purpose contains four goals called deliver core internal functions, act as a steward of public interest, engage in the IG ecosystem, deepen partnership with iOrgs. These areas collectively are worked on through various programs that whose costs add up to $15.6 million. Those programs are cross-functional, meaning that several different departments across the organization are involved in those programs. Sometimes one department will carry most of the work. In other cases, a multitude of departments and different people across several departments will contribute to one program. The slide 27 is just repeating an information that we've already shared in the past few weeks or months that provides a more detailed understanding of what the structure of the at-task system is. I will pass on that. This is another breakdown of the same information, which is the total costs of the organization, including UGTLD program, by the way, that are broken down as per those objectives, the four that we've seen before, and now provides a breakdown of these four objectives, total costs, by the categories of costs, so personnel, travel and meetings, professional services, and administration. This is just aiming at providing you with an understanding of what data exists. Basically, and this is just an aggregation of data that is provided in the Excel spreadsheet at the program level. This is basically provided at the objective level, and we are providing in the Excel spreadsheet same format but at the program level and with more information pertaining to each program. I just want to point out here that this is providing an overview of the entire cost of the organization, including the new GTLD program, and that should answer one of the questions that you shared with me, Roloff, but we'll come to it later. The page 29, 30, 31, 32 are only providing the next level of breakdown as per the portfolios of the same information in total. Page 33, 34, 35, 36 are providing an overview of the additional SO and AC budget requests that have been formulated with an overview of answers for those that have been formulated as part of the fast track, which concluded in Beijing, and providing the current requests for those regular track requests that have been formulated and that are currently being worked on and being reviewed for a suggested decision to come later. Page 37 and until page 42 provides an overview of the new GTLD program financials, mainly all of program information rather than annual information. The page 42 provides a breakdown of the total program information by year for reference. I will not go into detail of that. I'm stopping here so that then we can go over the questions that you may have. And I'll let you guys organize how you want to do that.
Thank you, Xavier. This is Rolf. I just want to add we have in some comments, maybe you can pick those that you think you can answer and let us know which ones you come because you think they should go into the public comments period. If you will supply answers to those, you will provide information to those that you have provided to us.
Is that an approach? It will work?
is, sorry, Roloff, I heard you speaking, but I could not understand, I think, a word of what you were saying, and I don't know if anybody was understanding you better than I do.
Okay, was that a general problem? Could anybody understand me?
Roloff,
no, I couldn't, Roloff.
Roloff?
Okay, yes, hello?
Roloff, could you go on mute, please? Let me try to rephrase what you said, and then you can confirm or adjust it.
Okay, I'll go on mute.
Xavier, I think what Roloff asks you is to indicate which of the questions you could answer right now and do so, and which you couldn't, and say the SOP will put them into the, say, the public comment period, say, in their submission.
Okay.
Is that correct, Roloff?
Thank you, Bart. Spot on. And I'm assuming we're referring to the questions that Roloff shared with me yesterday, correct?
Yes, that's true. Because afterwards
okay. And the questions that Bart sent to you. And are those different than the ones that you sent to me, Roloff, or are those the same?
They are the same with the addition of one question from Mathieu. And
okay.
that question referred to, say, headcount and etc.
Okay. So I will then pull up the questions from that Bart shared, because I guess what you're saying is that that email is probably including more questions than the one that I'm having. Okay.
Yes.
Xavier, this is Christina. If you forward me that email right now, I can paste the questions in the Adobe Room. If that helps people.
Yes, let me try to do that with my phone. Let me just a second.
Christina?
Yes?
You should have received them yesterday. I sent them yesterday around
okay,
this time.
I'll
so
find
you don't need to.
And Bart could
yeah.
lead the entire committee, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll find it.
So, presuming that everyone has the questions, and while Christina is putting them up on the Adobe Room, so the questions from Mathieu, which are the beginning of the email, that's why I'm pointing out to them now, his questions are focused on the staff increase, plus 40%. I'm not sure exactly what the 40% comes from. I don't know if it's over 2 years or 1 year, but irrelevant. ICANN is scaling up, and that is understandable, but how is ICANN ensuring that these hires are necessary, couldn't be avoiding by improving productivity and processes? It appears that more than 20 out of 60 new staff will join support functions, and I would also like to understand why the scaling up of these functions could not be obtained by improving productivity. I think this comment requires a more in-depth analysis and comments than what I can provide in a few minutes here. But I think the gist of it is that the large amount of the staff increase is driven by new activities, which are carried out through a set of hirings to address those specific activities or to start building bandwidth for those activities. But there is also, which is why I think the infrastructure headcount increases to the extent of the 20 that Mathieu mentioned, because we are also investing for those new activities, for the expanded scope. We are investing in systems that we are expecting will help us be
more productive and efficient than it, if it would be only with resources. So I think there is an effect of the building exercise takes resources. The building exercise currently includes building the systems that that enable us in the future to have scalable and automated, where possible, activities. So that's contributing to the headcount increase as well as the new activities. If I'm very simply taking an example, and it's only an example, it's not trying to contribute to a variance analysis. If I look in finance, the budget of finance is reducing year on year because we are being more efficient at what we do and we're simplifying our processes to try to be more efficient. But at the same time, we are increasing the headcount because we have created new activities that require more resources. Let me take a very simple example. Out of the two headcount by which the finance team has increased in 2013, there's basically 1.5 or 1.75, basically, that pertains to the new GTLD program controlling and monitoring of the financial data, either relative to the cost or relative to the investments. This is new activity. We wouldn't have the program. We wouldn't need these headcounts, as simple as that. And that replicates vastly throughout the entire organization. I will try to see how we can provide maybe a little bit more substantial information, but at the same time, I want to make sure that I point out back to the slide I'm trying to go back there quickly. So the slide that appears on page 22, which provides a certain understanding of headcount variance by the big areas of changes between the 2 years, and that's partially where Matthew has taken his figures, but I still wanted to refer to that because it provides the sermon of understanding of the 40 out of the 60 that Matthew mentioned. I will move on to the next question. Roloff, if someone wants to join in or to chime in. Someone has unmuted their phone and we have a lot of background on the call. Thank you. I will continue. Plus remarks and questions. Roloff starts with this is a strong improvement over previous of plan. Welcomes the structure, provides a good insight and generally comprehensive allocation. The dollar amounts to receive and spend, still very few metrics can be found in the plan. So I think that the sermon of information relative to metrics is available in the Excel spreadsheet that's not been replicated in the PowerPoint, in the PDF document, and I would suggest that you go into the Excel spreadsheet to retrieve that information on a program-by-program basis. I don't necessarily think that the metrics in this document, which are normally provided for all programs, aren't always sufficiently precise, and we are working at refining those metrics as we use better the system, which is an ongoing education process that the entire staff is going through and will continue to take time. We're really at the very beginning of using this system and learning through using the system as an organization. I think the value and the advantage is that metrics are part of what the system enables. One, second, metrics are a requirement for programs and projects for any staff member who creates and manages a program. As a result, we are making this a requirement in the organization, and we are expecting to get better and better at formulating them. So I think we're going in the right direction and have taken a good start at this exercise. A large number of goals are formulated as non-SMART, and there's somebody who's unmuted, and it provides a lot of background of the call. Thank you. Roloff mentions an example, 5-minute expenditure in the policy development process should have a better measurable objective than to optimize it. So without necessarily disputing the reality of that, what we're going to need to think through is that if you look at the programs that make up that specific objective, I think there is a more precise understanding of what is aimed at achieving with this. However, I would jump on your comment, Roloff, to say that the goals, as they are formulated, to your point, are not necessarily SMART in the sense of specific, measurable, actionable, repeatable, and timely. But, I think this is something that we're going to need to evolve, notably as we are redesigning the strategic planning part of, the strategic phase of the planning process, which is what we've been missing this year, as you all know, by design, as decided in Toronto. But obviously, we are missing that upstream phase today, and we need to ensure we have it designed and implemented in the planning process so that the why and what we are trying to achieve at a high level, at an objective level, is much more clearly documented and formulated. And as a result, I would expect that with that implementation, the logic of those objectives and what we are trying to achieve will be more clear then.
Xavier, let me give it another try. Can you hear me now? Can you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, very well.
Oh, that's good. Just a clarification on this particular issue, and I think I've made it before some time ago. I think one of the roles of the ICANN board is to assess at the end of a fiscal year if ICANN has managed, and I mean ICANN, the organization, not ICANN, the whole environment, if ICANN, the organization, has been performing as planned. And for that, also on a high level, you need measurable objectives. And that's why I gave this particular example, because it will be a discussion that goes everywhere. If at the end of a year, the board has to use a task to assess if ICANN has wisely spent the $5 million on optimizing the PDP, or if the PDP has been optimized in the right direction or enough. So I don't think, but I you seem to be agreeing with me in your comments. I don't think that measurable objectives or metrics in the task system, they will be very detailed. I think you need metrics at a very high level as well. That was the point I would like to make.
And to make it simple, I agree with you.
Oh, that's good. And it's a comment that we will also put in our public comment.
Understood. And at task, to your point, I think it's helpful to say, to conclude on that by saying, ATASC is not a strategic tool for measurement of the organization's objectives to be achieved or not, that task is a daily management monitoring system. It's a tool for FADI, in simple terms, to understand what is going on in the organization, to ensure that the organization delivers and progresses along the projects and programs that it is working on. It allows him, it is designed to allow him to possibly reprioritize based on an understanding of the workload and the resource availability or lack thereof on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. So it is a management monitoring tool which never existed before and enables the organization to do a much better job at the delivery and the measurement of achieving those objectives. So it's a management tool. I think it will be very helpful in the context of understanding whether our objectives as an organization have been delivered, but it's not how it needs to be measured. It's only how going to help, in my views, having that understanding that needs to be formulated at a high level as well, and I entirely agree with you, Rolf. Let me move on to the next question from Roland Sess, page 8, focus on the transformation of the organization towards operational excellence. It would be interesting to get some more concrete goals and achievements there. Similarly, Roloff, I'm assuming that if you look at the programs that make up that specific objective, I think you will have a more concrete understanding of what it contains. These programs are associated with an owner, a summary of description of it, the timeline for it, the metrics for it, and I think that information, that level of granularity of the information will provide you with that understanding. And I, when I say will provide you, I'm expecting it would at least contribute to it, but I'm looking for feedback from everyone, including notably this group, to understand how effective the information that we provide is at providing that understanding of concrete goals and achievements, because part of the objective of us sharing this information is to ensure that it does provide the public and the interested parties in the ICANN community with adequate information for that understanding to be complete and as clear as possible. So our objective in sharing this information is transparency, is accountability, and we need to make sure that we are achieving that objective with sharing this information, and for feedback on that very point will be extremely helpful. Page 9, BNS Industry Engagement.
I will do what you suggest, Xavier, and I will give you feedback on that.
Thank you, Roloff. Page 9, BNS Industry Engagement Organization. What is this? The BNS Industry Engagement is a generic word that we're, or description that we are applying to what used to be departments that were not necessarily connected to each other very well, which are the registrar liaison, the registry liaison, the IDN group, and the stakeholder engagement group. So it's basically in the old organization, the departments that Kurt Fritz supervised when he was there. This is a group now supervised by Cyrus Namizi, who is heading that group, and it's basically the DNS industry in this respect is currently only focused on the registrars and the registries, though I think there have been discussions about the fact that it should include the CCs. I'm not trying to go into that debate right now because we don't have the time, but I think that discussion has happened before. Page 11, the OPSCAN should contain and focus on objectives and targets for the specific year that are directly derived from and can be clearly related to the multi-year strategic objectives. I if I understand correctly at this point, I think we've kind of discussed it a little bit earlier in the previous two questions with Roloff. I tend to agree. I think, again, by design, we had a little bit frozen the strategic planning process this current year, and to give ourselves the time to develop and design an updated strategic planning process whose objective, in my view, needs to be able to clearly lay out that link between the strategic objectives, how these objectives need to be delineated by year, and how the ops plan basically supports the achievement of those objectives on an annual basis. So I agree with that point. Your comments in that respect, Roloff, not that they are new, but repeated, do help, certainly me, in making the point that this is how we need to formulate it in the organization going forward. Page 14, the forecast change in NetFS new GTLD program is 92 million. Revenue should be reported in the same period as costs are incurred. And then, this would suggest that the cost of the new GTLD are much lower than expected. Okay, there's a long answer to that question, which, unfortunately, we don't have necessarily time for. So I will try to be very short and very simple to the extent of not necessarily being clear, and I will try to come back to that in writing. The substance is the revenues are determined in proportion to the evaluation costs, but it's not an equal proportion. It is proportional to the progress of the costs. So what we are looking at is the entire evaluation costs of the program, and when we are at any month end that we have booked evaluation costs, we look at what proportion of evaluation costs have been incurred to date in respect of the total amount of evaluation costs. This gives us a percentage, and that percentage is applied to the amount of revenues so that we recognize a similar, an equivalent proportion of revenues for the program. The consequence of this is that while the revenues are aiming at covering all the costs of the program across its entire life, and therefore include notably the risk component that had been designed into the revenue cost, the application fee, basically, while the revenue includes all those components, the costs that have currently been incurred mainly include evaluation costs, and as a result exclude for now, right now, they exclude a lot of risk costs that have been assessed as part of the program but have not yet been incurred. And from an accounting standpoint, we cannot recognize those costs before they materialize, before they are effectively incurred, but at the same time, we cannot not recognize the revenues in proportion of the evaluation cost. So I think this needs a bit more explanation and a bit more documented explanation, and I will try to provide it in writing as well, because that's the reason why we recognize currently more revenues than costs, is because there are costs that have not yet been incurred and are expected at some point in the future to potentially be incurred, and that we are basically creating reserves to face these costs in the future.
Okay, that's pretty clear, Xavier. But I'll await your longer answer, but this was already a good clarification, I think. Thank you.
By the way, I do expect we're going to talk a lot more about that very subject, because the amounts that come out of that revenue and expense recognition methodology, basically, are very significant to your point. Page 23, is the huge increase in staff necessary, justifiable? Can it be managed? without a reduction of the productivity per capita. I think we started talking a bit about this earlier. What I need to do is probably think a bit more as to a good way to try to answer that question in a sufficiently specific and substantial manner rather than with a very general comment. So I will table that question to try to provide to it a sermon of answer and understanding of how the recruiting is being formulated, the rationale for the position, what is the process, and the arrears of significant increase that appear out of the page 23. I think when you focus on those, it provides at least a general understanding of why those resources are needed. I think the question is entirely irrelevant, is logical, and needs to be addressed. Page 28, the holy cow is an Americanism that we can qualify very colorfully in different languages. I will pass on the French. The bottom line is that roll off the 54 million that you're referring to, which is pertaining to operations excellence, is as high as it is because it includes the new GKLD program. So this is part of the reason why we displayed the slide that is on page 28 in the fashion that we did. You can see that out of the 54 million, 45 million correspond to the new GTLD program because this is the evaluation panels that evaluate the applications. So those costs that appear on that page are more clearly represented in the new GTLD section of the document. That is on the pages 38 and following.
Okay, Xavier, just a clarification on my behalf, please. So although it is under operations excellence, this is about the new GTLD program.
Absolutely.
Evaluation.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The objectives and goals of the, as displayed in the management monitoring system and ATAS, are designed to capture all the activity that the organization carries out, which includes the new GTLD program. As a result of which, you can see that the page 28 totals up to 142 million, which is not just the ICANN operations, as opposed to the new GTLD program, it's both together.
Okay, I missed that one. I know that NetTask has both activities in it, but I misunderstood. Thank you for that clarification. So a little funny though, but make it clear.
Yeah, and the page 50, the page 28 that you're referring to breaks down that 54 million that you're pointing out to between the 9 million for the operations and the 45 million for the new GTLD program. It's very clearly laid out there so you can refer to it. I don't think there's really a question in page 29 other than understanding what makes up that amount. Effective business operations, again, when you look at the programs that makes this up, I think this answers your question on page 30, and if it's not, then I think it would be helpful that you reformulate the question and maybe precise it, because when you look at the level of the programs that appear in the spreadsheet, you will have a much more granular understanding of what's in there. And I think that, though not exactly the same question, the page 32 is also better. Sorry, the question on the page 32 is also at least partially answered when looking at the detailed program that make it up. So we are at the end of the questions from Roloff and Mathieu. I apologize, but I need to run because we're at the end of our hour, and I need to get into another commitment. But I'm hoping that it was helpful. And obviously, those questions that you may have that have not been discussed here, I'm also expecting them to appear as part of the public comment along with these questions. And I will try to make sure that I provide consistent written answers to those questions that we have discussed today and to those that we have not and that you will provide as part of the public comment process.
Thank you very much, Xavier, for making yourself available and for the useful comments and answers you supplied. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for the opportunity, and we'll be speaking to you or seeing you probably soon, no later than Durban.
Yes, you will, Xavier.
Thank you.
Thank you, Xavier.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, everyone. Bart, I think that we will be in touch very soon with the group so that we can start working on our comments for
yes.
the comments period.
Yes, I think. And say one of the questions say that came up during the call is whether we want to submit already, because say if you've noted. Some other members of the SOP had submitted other questions after we sent these to Xavier, whether we should send questions in already and then so it enables Xavier to answer them as quickly as possible, or that we should compile all the questions and comments, etc., for a final comment. Because, say, it, as you know, there's quite some time between, say, submitting the questions, etc., and submitting the final comments of the SOP. But this is probably something we need to discuss.
Well, my suggestion would be, Bart, that since those questions were sent to us for this particular session, that we just forward them to Xavier, and we tell him that if there are questions that he can directly answer, could he please do so? And that if not, we will make those points also in our comments, in our formal comments, that we will start writing. Is that
yeah,
the first?
But let's discuss, say, over the next day or two. I'm less available, or you can call me tomorrow, and we'll discuss it.
Okay, I'll do that. Unless anybody wants to make or somebody wants to make another point, I would like to thank you all for being on this call, and you'll hear from Bart and me. Oh, sorry, I had my mic off, I think. Unless
no, you
anybody has a point to
okay.
make, thank you very much. Oh, sorry, I'll shut.
Okay, bye-bye all.